Good morning. It's good to be with you here again on the video cast for New Life Assembly. I just want to tell you I'm excited about what God is doing. And there's something I want to give you a word for this season, and I felt the Lord really nudge me in this. Excuse me. Something the Lord dropped on me. And I wrote some things for the season we're in. Everybody's been in isolation. And I feel a nudge, strong, more than a nudge. I felt like the Lord told me to just encourage you and exhort you and speak some things to you real briefly about this season. As we go through things and people are in isolation and, you know, we're gonna get out eventually. And I want to caution you on some things that I'm looking at, and I'm very observant, and kind of made a list here. And number one, we cannot mistake fear for caution. I see many Christians, even in this season with this virus going around, that sometimes they act as if there's no God in acting on their behalf. I am not talking about negligence, but people are in fear. Let me tell you something. God will never have you approach something in a spirit of fear, ever. I don't care how bad or how minimal it is, but we must not mistake fear for caution. I see a lot of that going on, and it's funny because instead of Jesus really leading, you need the voice of God in these times. There is no substitute. This doesn't mean you're totally negligent and you ignore everything you have heard. But as believers, we have one throne, one Lord and Savior, Jesus. So do not mistake fear for caution. Something the Lord spoke to me when this even became turned on, this whole thing. And he told me that there were Christians that were going to go 5 years backwards into bondage and into fear. And it would all be under the guise of caution. So you've got to hear God. And God is in charge. That's the bottom line. God is in charge. The TV's not in charge. There's so many different voices out there. You desperately need to hear the Lord. Instead of tuning into different articles and channels, don't do that. You want to listen to medical caution, that's fine. But again, don't mistake fear for caution. Number two, have you placed your confidence strictly in your isolation? Have you placed it strictly in putting a mask on? I actually hope not. Now, I wear a mask in the store. A lot of people wear that. But I hope that your confidence is in your own hand. Because, number one, it's wrongly placed. My confidence is in the Lord. I've been into foreign countries. I've fled. I've had to flee communist troops. And I got to tell you something. You place confidence in the Lord, not in your ability to hide, not in your ability. This doesn't take away from certain precautions the elderly are taking or anybody is taking. But do you feel totally confident? Because you have to understand something. These things run a course and they're in the air forever. Have you asked God, number three, to speak to you in this season for his wisdom? Or have you just asked him to keep you from getting it? Are you just self-preserving? Or have you said, Father, I want your wisdom. There's a million voices out there and there's different opinions. In fact, they range so wildly, it's hysterical. Are you asking God for his wisdom? Have you sought him? Not just, oh, God, protect me. Foxhole prayers are kind of okay, but I want to ask you something. If ever you needed the voice of God, you need it now. Do you understand sometimes also the hypocrisy and even the government rules? I see 200 people standing in line at the pop dispensary. That's okay. But a church meeting over 10 people can't be. You can go to a liquor store. Even the porn shops are open. But not have church. And this is where we have to, in some ways, we need the wisdom of God. It's not about just bucking some trend, but we need the wisdom of God. It's interesting, the government says, I can stand in a line of 192 people, of course, with some social distancing, to get marijuana. But God forbid if a church meets and worships. Think about this. And the voices we listen to are important because what I'm watching many times is Christians, they're just like good boys and girls, meaning everything they hear, they buy at face value. They don't question it. They don't ask the Lord for guidance. Then fifth, are you spending more time in prayer, seeking his face? Are you making calls to pray with prayer partners? Are you having phone fellowship? This is not koinonia. I'm teaching you today, but this is actually not koinonia. Do you long for that? Are you good if you never contact another Christian again? See, these are things that I really believe God is bringing out in this season. Are you doing that? Are you longing for the days when you can stand next to your brothers and sisters in worship, or is it doesn't matter to you? And these are things we really have to check. Now, I say this because there is a desperate need for the voice of God in these times, and I had the Lord nudge me a couple days ago and just said, you need to speak to the people, because we get video views that are outside of the line of people that are invited. I mean, we get more views. We probably get 24 to 50 views sometimes with these messages. But Jesus is Lord. The news is not Lord. The fear of man is not Lord. Precautions are fine, but again, as Christians, we have one throne, one Jesus. And you really need the voice of God in so many ways, because like I said, I've seen people put into panics. I've watched Christians act like there's no God, that God is not enacting on their behalf. And that is not good at all. Like by their own hand, they're going to make sure they're okay. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with using wisdom. But using wisdom in the fear of the Lord is the requirement for saints. It's not a matter of, you know, I'm going to follow everything, or I'm going to do this or not do this. Because it's not about simply rebelling and say, they say this, we're going to do this. But the voice of God is desperately needed. And even as I'm going to open in the sermon in a few minutes, I want you to really ask God today. Because I know a spirit of fear has crept in all over the church. Absolutely. All over the church in this country, a spirit of fear has crept in. And you know, for me, I don't care for it, and I have no tolerance for it. I feel it getting on people. It bothers the heck out of me, because it says when you walk in fear, you're not perfected in love. So if fear starts taking the reins, you're not walking in the love of Jesus. And if you're doing that, you're out of sync. And then if you're out of sync with Jesus, do you understand what's going to happen? Do you understand what's going to creep in? The devil needs literally a millimeter and he'll take 1,000 miles. Too many Christians don't respect the boundaries God has placed and the things that God has asked them, and the submission we should have to him, his will, his word, his voice. And they play games with this stuff and they humor fear. The only thing that happens when you bring an enemy into your household is he kills you. That's it. He doesn't live with you in peace. He's not all right with you dwelling with some of God and some of him. He kills you. I'm talking in the spirit. To end this, the possibilities is a season, pro and con, because there are great possibilities. A deepened relationship with the Lord is a possibility. You've got time. A lot of people have time. The con, the pro is that. The con is a greater distance from the Lord. The pro is greater faith. The con, greater fear. The pro, good time stewardship with your time. Or the con, blown time stewardship, where you're vegging out and doing absolutely nothing. The pro is you can have deliverance from the fear of man, which is a snare. Or you can fall into more fear. You can go backwards years of God freeing you up from paranoia. The pro, greater learning and revelation. Or the con, being a greater couch potato. The pro, less time staring at your cell phone, or the con, staring endlessly at that screen, maybe even falling into sin on your phone, maybe having hours of idle time where you could be enjoying the presence of the Lord, instead you're enjoying the presence of media. So even just wanted to give a word of encouragement, because we are God's people, and I've got to tell you something. We live in a democracy where you can worship and you can freely worship, but I've got to tell you something. What are we willing to pay for our faith? Because again, the many things I've seen in America right now, many people could care less. And most people are such to degree of self-preservationist that if faith ever actually cost them a threat of their freedom, jail time, they wouldn't do it. I kind of feel like if we're going to get into bondage to fear of a microorganism, what are we going to do if our faith is put on the line? A lot of people go, no, that's different. Well, yes, it's different, but there's a stewardship and a learning. So I just pray, even now, I want to pray just for freedom. Freedom. I don't have any problem with any cautions you're taking, but fear cannot be a part of any of it. It's interesting, though, because as we pray, many people are treating this in ways that science doesn't even says it is. Many people are running around and looking about, ooh, is there people out there? You know, I heard a CDC expert said if you're in a store and somebody is sneezing and coughing, it's a 99% chance they just have the flu. And yet you watch people, so they're so in fear. They're seeing it around every corner. Oh, so-and-so came in my house. I wonder if he had it. That's actually called paranoia. That's called fear. That's not necessarily wisdom. So again, let's have that balance of doing the things that we need to do, but Jesus has to be Lord in this issue. And a lot of people are tossing it. They're tossing the priorities of God. They're tossing the word. They behave like they're on their own and they're the only one that can protect themselves. That's nonsense, especially if you've risked your life like I have, faced deadly things. That's nonsense. It says the horse is a false hope for victory. So let's pray. Father, as we get into the word today, I would pray in the name of Jesus, you would free people that have went backwards into fear. You would free people that they believe by their own hand and all their little precautions, they're totally safe. Not relying, most importantly, on you, Father. Lord, as you told me, this society will open up, but you told me many people will not be the same because they have journeyed into fear. Many people have settled. They have let fear speak to them. They have let fear guide them. They have let fear lead them astray. So I pray, even as things will open up, that in the name of Jesus, faith, faith. Lord, how do I know if you're not speaking to me? Because anything I do by fear is I'm not doing by your hand. There's punishment, it says, in fear. And if we walk in fear, it says we are not protected. We are not experiencing the full love of Christ. So we don't want to do that. We want to experience your love. Father, teach us what is caution, but also teach us not to mistake fear for caution. Many have went off the deep end, God, in this country. And they need a steady hand. They need the steady voice of faith. We reject that in the name of Jesus this morning. I pray you would help people that are wrestling with this morning. All that would even view this video, because there's way more than what's invited from New Life that end up viewing this. So I just pray it would be a word, a sure word to the church of Jesus Christ. You are on the throne and are the center of us. And Lord, we pray one more thing, Lord. Many will use this angle coming against the church. Many will use this as an angle to stop fellowshipping when they need to. Many will use this as an angle to attack meetings. And we're seeing it in different states. The priorities are messed up. Lord, guide your people in this tricky season. Give us wisdom in the fear of the Lord. Absolutely. And Lord, that we would really, this Lord, for those just glued to the newscast, they need to get glued to their scripture and glued to the voice of God. But I pray as we get into the message today, your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you today. So good to be with you. Just felt such a burden and to share with you just a few points the Lord had given me. As we begin today, we're going to talk about sanctification, which isn't necessarily all about morality. It's more than that. It's also about being like your Heavenly Father, as well as better understanding your own identity, that you are different. Because even that word, other word, holiness, I want to talk about. Holiness, it means different. Many times people hear the word holy, and they simply think of moral purity. And they think of sanctification, and again, they think of moral purity. But it's part of a person that is sanctified, and the more you are sanctified, the more morally you will be clean. But the reality of sanctification and holiness is actually being like your Father. There's a supernatural part to holiness. And sometimes what the church does is, again, they strictly attach that word. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. This is relational. Holiness is relational. Sanctification is relational. So many times, and you can find it even in legalistic churches, they get into a moral code, but they're far from God because they don't understand what it means to be sanctified. Or what did God do when he sanctified you, when he set you apart? But holiness, it says, without which we will not see God. And I want you to go, and we're going to read a few scriptures, Leviticus 11:44. And I'm going to rifle through a few this morning just to open. God says, if you want to just write it down, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth, for I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 20:26. Thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. As God speaks to Israel and he brought him out of Egypt and the bondage, he speaks to you the same way. You are his people. And to call to holiness really is a call to sanctification. And it is not, again, follow simply some moral rules, but really you've been born again of an imperishable seed from heaven. There's a supernatural thing that is going on in your life. And God wants you to be like him because you are like him. It's interesting. God has made you holy. Will you live holy? God has set you apart. Will you set yourself apart? Your DNA says you are different. The word holy, hagios, in Greek, in the New Testament, it means different. It actually means different. This is God's desire and design. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. One more verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:2, and I'll wait for you to get there. Again, as obedient children, we are God's. We are not of this world. We are of heaven. As from the Lord, you've got a supernatural nature. The one thing I love about when I got born again many years ago is that I changed from the inside out. I didn't have five Christians telling me what was right, what was wrong. And there were natural, divine changes that went on in my spirit. Now, later when I finally got attached to a church, what was fascinating was we had the same beliefs. We understood the same things. But I was picking up the changes in me by my living. I didn't read it, said, okay, I got to find out what this, I'm a Christian now, and I got to find out what Christians do or don't do. That didn't happen at all. Now, as I was living and there were massive changes going on in me, I would run into scriptures and go, wow, I didn't want to do that. And it's like a new nature inside. 1 Thessalonians 4:2 says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God. And let that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. Wow, it's interesting. Somebody goes, what is the will of God for my life? My sanctification. That God has set me apart. God has set me apart. Now, I want you to think of something. In Galatians, Paul talks about being set apart from his mother's womb. But yet he was killing and agreeing with the jailing and the martyrdom of Christians, namely even Stephen. He held the coats while they stoned Stephen. He said, he who set me apart from my mother's womb. That means God had an intention for Paul, and it started before Paul was born, yet Paul was killing Christians. Then finally, Paul runs into Jesus on the road to Damascus, has a divine vision, and is changed. Now, Paul finally comes to the faith and is truly realized that he was set apart from his mother's womb. Now he sets himself apart because God had set him apart. Paul could have went and had that experience and went and killed more Christians. God could have set him apart and Paul could have denied being set apart. Now this is the thing that's very critical as we begin. One of the biggest problems we have to be a sanctified people, we must deal with the ongoing threat which we ignore so much, and it's such a cause of a problem in the area, is being corrupted, as well as being damaged, the damage that is caused by light mixing with darkness. Light mixing with darkness causes corruption to many saints of God. God has set me apart. He did his job. He has asked me to set myself apart as he has set me apart. He's even given me a new nature that is contrary to my old nature when I got born again. But one of the biggest problems I see with Christians, and it happens again and again, is that they end up getting corrupted. Their light gets doused by darkness. They allow even people in their life to steer them to corruption. And they're thinking, you want to know something interesting? The greatest danger isn't the person that simply says, you want to do some drugs, you want to go out and live illicitly, you want to go to a strip club. The greatest danger is, and many times when you mix light with darkness, it's the internal corruption that begins to happen. And the hollowing out of a once sanctified person taking in from another person that is walking in the world, that is walking with the spirit of the world in the age. I see more damage from people getting corrupted by darkness than I see any other way. And many times, it's funny, it's relational. There's a lot of bad things out there, and we, all you people, all you wonderful new lifers watching today, and you know that there's a lot of corruption out there. You can go to any city, there's sin all around us. But the one thing that's very interesting is I don't necessarily see people running to a location to be corrupted. But I see through the years of even being a pastor, I see Christians corrupted because they mix with darkness. Now you may ask me, are you saying I should never talk to sinners? No. Are you saying I shouldn't be, you know, loving my family if some aren't saved? Love them, absolutely. But I am saying to you that one of the dangers we face is so often we are corrupted by someone. We are corrupted through relationships. We are corrupted through emotional soul ties we form with people, and our insides get dirtied. We start sanctified, we end degraded. We start sanctified, we end filthy. We start clean, we end dirty. Now I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 6:11. And we're going to read. And again, when I talk about sanctification and holiness, this is probably one of the biggest problems. And you say, why do you bring this up? Well, I bring it up, number one, because the Lord speaks to me about it. But I bring it up because this is, even as a Christian, first, and a pastor, second, I've seen Christians corrupted over and over and over and over. And every time I see them corrupted by bad influence or darkness, it's funny, they never want to see it. They never want to talk about it. They always say, no, this thing is, I'm doing this, it's okay, I'm okay. Let me tell you something. We need to learn as believers how to truly manage ourselves. We need to learn as believers how to truly respond to God setting us apart. And it goes deeper than this, but I want to read 6:11, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Paul says, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. So Paul's telling the Corinthians, open, okay, open. Let me speak into you. You know why? Because as a preacher, you can speak to people and you know their propensity or their tendency, they're close-hearted. Listen, anytime you get into a sermon, your heart's either open or it's closed. And I find very little ground. It's either open or it's closed. And I would even tell you, as Paul told these people, in like exchange, open wide to me. Verse 14, Paul says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. I want to read verse 14 again. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Paul's asking a rhetorical question, because the answer is you have nothing in common. And as light, you have nothing in common with darkness. As a temple of God, you have nothing in common with the temple of demons. But here's the interesting thing. Often people read the scripture about dating and marriage, but quite frankly, the command in the scripture goes a lot wider than dating and marriage. It deals with yoking, friendships, partnerships. We get attached with people that are walking in darkness. You know, it's interesting. Everybody watching me today has family members that are unsaved, some that are backslidden, some that don't walk with Jesus, some that never have. But there's a reality when you begin to get in cozy. See, God has commanded us to love the sinner. He has commanded us to love and pray for our family members that don't know Jesus. But there's a partnership, a yoking that happens in relationships. Anybody hearing me knows what I'm talking about. You get cozy and you get emotionally in and you start really seeing the same way. And the problem with this kind of stuff is Paul says you can't do it. Because number one, he speaks from the point of we don't have things in common with the people that are in the world. We don't. Now, some people would say, are you being haughty? Not at all. I got to tell you something. When I got born again, there were friendships I lost. And I will say this, even with my family, we've loved each other all these years. And I love them to no end. But with the non-believers, there was a break. It was never the same. We still talked, we still laughed, but the partnership was gone. Why was it impossible? Well, it's impossible because I'm light now. Now, this you're going to have to judge for yourself. There's a part where we love and we are with the people we love and we're with our family, but there's a yoking and a partnership where we come into a deep emotional tie. If you've been born again, it's no longer in you. And I saw this myself, and every believer experiences this. I was out of sync. I was out of rhythm. That didn't mean anybody hated me. It didn't mean anybody wanted to hurt me. But the issue of emotional partnership with darkness is such a staggering thing. I was a youth pastor before I was a pastor. One of the main things that I always saw, especially with the people, they were anywhere from 16 to 20, relationships were the trickiest aspect. I don't mean just who they dated or who they married. I mean even their friends. And oftentimes you would see a young believer on fire for God. Suddenly their fire would go out. Suddenly their prayer life would start waning. Suddenly, and you would always find they had started connecting with somebody that was in the world. And many times if you tried to approach them, they were either defensive or oblivious. Oh, I love Jesus. And you could actually watch the darkness coming in because they were yoking. They were partnershiping with people in the world. It was affecting their spirit. You know, 15:33, 1 Corinthians says, bad company corrupts good morals. And this is interesting. It's the oldest truth in the book. It's the easiest one to read, but it seems to be the difficult one when it comes to God's sanctification and God causing you to be holy to Him. You know, when I was out of sync with the people that I loved that were in the world and I got pulled out, I didn't whine about it. I didn't say boo-hoo. I still care for them. In fact, if you really want to help the people walking in darkness that you love, don't be like them. This is interesting because somehow we get cozy and we believe as we're getting cozy, we're winning them. You know what? You're being won. You're not winning. Now, what's really critical, because our sanctification and our holiness has everything to do with winning the lost. Our life is our epistle. Our actions are our epistle. You know, it's interesting. I used to say that I believe a lot of believers get real preachy because if they had to live before the people they wanted to win, their life would never win anybody because nobody sees a difference in them. This is really critical. Do you really love that person that was your friend at one time? Now you got saved, there's a distance. Do you really love that family member that is backslidden or walking in darkness? Then be holy, be sanctified. Buddying up with them won't win them. In fact, you will become more like them than them becoming like you. And your light will turn to darkness. But your life is an epistle and it is meant to do that. The fact is, even as Paul says this, righteousness and lawlessness, darkness and light have nothing in common. In fact, many times, I want you to do something today. Now, for older people, you may be real set. You may not have a lot of dark friendships, and that is a good thing. And we'll get into that as well. But for many of us, this is relational stumbling is such a critical thing. But the scripture is so true. But the point of the matter is, if I start having more in common with sinners than saints, My heart is slipping. I'm speaking to you and anybody that'll pick up this video on YouTube. If my heart is starting to walk in a parallel with darkness, people that are in darkness, then the truth of the matter is I'm slipping. That's a fact. You know, I've watched many saints backslide and they are hellbound due to relational ties. Family, friends, doesn't matter. And they were never called to not be loving or be kind. But what partnership has light with darkness? It actually doesn't. In fact, if you're really living out your faith, darkness will not find a lot of common ground with you. You would be surprised. There is a balancing act, as I talked about, because quite frankly, I have family members that are not believers, and I love them, and I see them all the time. There is a partnership that is no longer there since I became a Christian. There's no boo-hoo with it. It's just a reality. I will love them. I will pray for them. I won't be someone different that is more acceptable to them, because if I do that, I'm being affected. I'm being darkened, and they're not being enlightened. I want them to know Jesus, because can I tell you something? Eternity is a long time. This is a clear reality that I've lived out and seen so many Christians, you know. What's interesting, though, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Think about this graphic picture. If you're a temple, what in your mind, think of a temple right now, the one of God, the Holy One, even the tabernacle. What in your mind would fit in that temple? Or where would you see that temple commonly? Now, one of the beauties of this graphic picture that we are temples of the Holy Spirit is our, you know, it's interesting because the temple of God, you wouldn't defile it, would you? Would you bring garbage into the temple? But here's another part of sanctification. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. What are you willing to take in? See, you can be theoretically a temple of the Holy Spirit and bring garbage in. Idolatry, you can bring all kinds of filth. You can bring in bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. You can bring in all kinds of things. Because there's the reality of what God's made us, but then there's the response of us recognizing what we've been made into and responding appropriately with that. See, one of the beautiful things about, I look at the word, you know, sanctification, is that it is a living process that we set ourselves apart for the purposes of God, which requires choices at different stages. Here's the reality. The day you got saved, a lot of radical stuff went on, and some change happened. But you are nowhere near done. And I don't care if you're 50, 60, 80, today 90, you're growing until the day you see Jesus face to face when you pass to the next realm. But the beautiful thing is, this living process at stages requires me to make different steps. I was a musician. I came to Jesus. And I actually came to Jesus and kept playing under contract for a little bit. So here I was, really loving Jesus. In fact, suddenly the room, the friends, the camaraderie was totally gone. I had a talent. I could still play. But I remember the awkward feeling. It was no longer the same. But early on, I had such a wishful heart. I thought, you know, I can get these guys saved. That didn't happen at all. I was no longer in sync because God had set me apart for another point. And even at that point in time, I made a step. I quit. I finished out the last gig I did, and I quit. Because the sanctification in my life at that point required a step. By a relationship that I quit. Because the sanctification at that part required a step. See, when God sets you apart, there are stages you're going to have to set yourself apart. And there are stages where it's obvious what you need to do to be set apart, to be holy, to be sanctified. And I want to give you a word of encouragement. God has made you thus and such. The Spirit of God is seated in your spirit. You can do this. It is not impossible. But it's interesting. If we kind of develop a sympathy for darkness and a sympathy for the devil, we will not speak properly into the people that we need to speak light into. I see also a sympathy many times that's really not a sympathy at all. It's a permissiveness. It's an enablement. But sanctification is a living process. I don't care where you're at today. And you know, it's funny. God may have set you apart to be a prayer warrior. He may have said, that person, it could be Barbara, it could be Dallas, it could be any of you. I can name all your names and set you apart to be a prayer warrior. Now, he will ask you to set yourself apart to respond to what he set you apart for. And this is really an amazing thing, and I found this so true. I want you to think about something. We often go, you know, I wonder what I'm to do for God. That's an excellent question. And actually, your calling, no matter what the task is, it's totally wrapped up in sanctification. Because if God has set me apart for a ministry, I have to ready myself, and I myself have to set myself apart. Meaning, you've set me apart, God, to do this. Now I'm going to set apart my time. I'm going to sacrifice this so I can do it. I knew a man that was called into the mission field, and he was called in to be a prayer warrior. And he had an apartment, and he was being trained, and his pastor, you know, he worked with his pastor. And for 5 years, he became a prayer warrior. He was in his apartment praying. I remember as a young minister, I was a pastor, and I was talking about the guy, and I'm kind of going, you know, I don't know, he just prays. I mean, is that really what he should be doing? I mean, because we are so shallow sometimes in the faith. We're so religious. He had set himself apart. But here's the beautiful thing. As he set himself apart, God called on him 5 years later. He went to a foreign country, started over, I don't know if it was 29 different works he's over at current. But it's interesting. He set himself apart way before God launched him. He was set apart for a task. In obedience, he took a step. In fact, he was less social. He spent hours a day in prayer. He communed with his Father, and he grew closer, and he grew tighter. When the time of his calling came, he was launched and went into a foreign mission field, a very difficult one, I might add. And he was there well over a decade before he started getting actual response. But when I talk about sanctification and the things God asks of you, you're going to get different things that God's asking you to set yourself apart. Now, we could talk about sin and lust and all that stuff, and that all really matters. But as God has sanctified you, he's asking you to step into this process, whatever it may be today. What do you sense the Lord would have you do, and what do you think he set you apart for? I love that verse that says in Corinthians, God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. But listen to the exhortation. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. So when we talk about holiness, sanctification, being set apart, I want to encourage you that it's interesting. God actually says, be separate and I will walk among you. Many times compromise happens in our Christian walk. It does. We accept things that are just flat out wrong. We tolerate things that are not right. And God says, listen, come out from the midst and be separate. You know why he says that? Because in all generations, Christians often get in sync and in rhythm with the world. And the voice of God calls in and says, you're mixed up in spiritual Babylon. You need to come out. You need to come out. I want to walk among you. But God is not a God of compromise. And what I mean by that is the Lord has designed us to be a particular way. The Lord says sometimes we get so wrapped up in the ways of the world, we get messed up. And there's a repentance that is needed. But I love the Lord. You know, if you've been stuck in you know, this world and kind of lost your edge, God's always saying to you, come out from their midst and be separate. You're not one of the boys. You're not one of the girls. You're not like those in the world. Act like it. This is an interesting thing because oftentimes these words, sanctification, holiness, you get into simply some moral code, and people, you know, they don't, you know, put their hair in buns, the ladies and the guys wear suits. And there's such a powerful thing because God, we are called to walk with God. God, we are called, God wants to be in your life and he wants you to walk with him. Think about this. I actually believe one of the greatest problems that the church is horribly in bed with the world at this point. You know, it says that Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And if you actually understand, I've taught on this many years ago, the proof of virginity in the marriage ceremony would be that the couple in Jewish time, for the Jews, they would consummate the marriage. And many times the bed sheet was displayed. It would have blood, which would say virginity. Now, I know some of you are going, that is so gross, I won't be able to get that out of my head. That's okay. When it says that Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, he's coming back for a virgin. that's not having an affair with the world. He's coming back for a virgin that has separated itself from the world. No blood spot on that shoe, without spot or wrinkle, meaning it's never been used. This is what's really critical. But I love it. Come out from the midst and be separate. Touch, do not touch what is unclean. Isn't it interesting that he says, don't touch what is unclean? Because in our life, it's so easy to begin to touch, to handle things that are unclean. And we begin to do this, and it's unclean. And there is a need for a shift. I want to affect the world I live in, and I know everybody watching me, you want to affect the world. You don't want to be affected by the world. You want to affect the world you live in. And again, it's not in cold sterility. But we are a living epistle. We need to read well. And here's another thing. Sometimes walking with God will cause you not to walk with others. I myself left my profession. In fact, I left my profession when I came into the Lord. There were all kinds of people approaching me about musical projects, and I was this guy, and now God was going to use it for glory. And number one, I was so wrapped up into it, I had to come out of it for years. For years. I wanted to win the world, but if I brought the world with me, I was going to have a hard time affecting it. But to walk with God called on me to not walk with others. To walk with God, there were times I could no longer walk with certain people. I could not. It was real. Because if I would have, I never would have truly come out. God says he wants to walk among us. I love that part. I want you to ask yourself, when you got saved, okay, all of us, myself, I came out of a lot, visibly. Although, somebody once told me, it seems like all the good testimonies are about drugs and addiction and women. I said, no, to save a soul is impossible for a man. If you've been saved, I don't care how moral you were a sinner. You were actually, if you didn't know Jesus, it was impossible to cleanse you. I don't care how aesthetically pleasing you looked or clean. All of us have been pulled out, it says, from the domain of darkness, transferred into the domain of God's Son. But I want you to think about something. We're getting near the end. What has God set you apart for? What have you had a sense for? Now, I know he set all of us apart to fellowship with us. He wants to be with you every day. He does. He sets you apart. He doesn't want you to be like the world he pulled you out of. He wants you to be different. This is God's call. He set you apart so he could spend time with you. Because when you're in the world, you cannot spend time. If your heart is compromised, in fact, it's interesting. What's the first thing that I see go in people as they begin to slide? I see their prayer time and their Bible time. It always first one, then the other. Oh, they'll talk about God a lot. They might even post scriptures. But they're really not in the Word much anymore. And talking to God, they're impatient. They stay away from prayer meetings. I've done it. I've seen it through life. But I want you to ask yourself, what have you think you've been set apart for in your life? Has God given you a sense? Are you a prayer warrior? Are you to preach the word? Are you to minister, lay hands on people? What have you done? You know, God sets you apart. He always does his job. Have you met him there? What has he called you to walk? Has he asked you to walk different than you're walking? The one thing I like about sanctification and holiness, it just really deals with my DNA, your DNA, who we are in Christ. Sometimes the world gets in our heart and it makes us ineffective. It does. It darkens us. It has an effect on us. We are in the world, totally, but we are not of the world completely. So there's such a beautiful thing here that God wants to be with you every day. God wants to be with you every day. You know, it's interesting how we have been set apart. And we are different. We are different. We are different. But what will you do? And I want to ask you something as we're about near the end. Are you being affected by something? Is there a source in your life that is bringing darkness? And you know what it is, or you know who it is, or you know whatever thing it is. Is there something? And are you partnershipping? Do you have an active darkness you're partnershipping with? If you do, you're getting affected. You know, it's interesting. We usually, when we've been affected, when we've been drawn away from our sanctification, when we've been drawn away from walking with Jesus, it's interesting, the journey, we don't even realize how bad it's been until the damage is already done. You know, the body needs to fellowship. We who are in light need to have fellowship with others who are in light. And we need to love the lost world. We need to love the people we love that are lost. We need to pray for them. It's interesting. Many times I notice this too, and I'm just speaking this more prophetically today. I've often noticed many times before a Christian is affected with a bad partnership or a bad tie, they will often talk about somebody they're aggravated, it grieves them that they're not saved. And the next thing you will know many times, and I've seen this through 20-year stretch, next thing you know, they'll be getting affected by the very darkness they decried that they wanted to see changed. I've seen this so many times. But ask yourself a question today. Do you want to walk with the Lord? Because if He saved you, He wants you to walk with Him. Is there something you need to set apart as we close today? Because when we pray, we're going to ask God, what would you take away? Don't get out your list right now. It's funny. Two things we tend to do when you hear a message like this. We look at the people next to us, not ourselves. It's interesting. I often see people hear a sermon and they start judging the people next to them, but not themselves. And then they got their little hit list of what they think we shouldn't be doing. I got to tell you something. You desperately need a conviction from God. You definitely need to hear what God is speaking to you. What is the thing that He's saying, walk away from that? What is that habit that He's saying, walk away from? But you know the beauty about all of this? Do you know He set you apart to be with Him? He has sanctified you because you are His DNA. This isn't about some cold moral law. This is relational and it is interactive. And sanctification is really about a bride being true to her husband. Think about this. How many of you have seen marriages go awry, affairs? Think about this for a minute. Jesus doesn't want you to have affairs. When we talk about sanctification and even holiness, it's about not having other lovers. And it's about being exclusive for Him alone. And the more you do that, and this is something we grow in, I want to tell you and warn you, this is not about something that happens overnight. It is progressive. You are to walk in it. But we're going to close, and when we close in prayer, just as the Lord said in Leviticus, thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. Isn't that awesome? The bride, the groom, Jesus, has set you apart by His blood because He wants to be with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And you, He is your groom. You're not having a relationship with others in that way. In fact, the relationship I have with Jesus, it's the one of a kind. It's a one of a kind, and it's above all my other relationships. In fact, let's look at it this way as we close. Your relationship with Jesus, being the bride of Christ, being the good bride, the faithful bride to Him, calls you to be faithful to Him. And it is the relationship with Jesus that needs to guide all other relationships in my life. So if my relationship with Jesus, and I want to be obedient, and I want to walk in harmony with Him, I don't want to grieve Him. It's really the relationship I've got to judge all my relationships by. And what I mean is, if I'm in relationship with Jesus and I'm the bride of Christ and you're the bride of Christ, and I start getting into relationship, it doesn't matter, friend, relative, doesn't matter. And that relationship causes me to violate my relationship with Jesus, well, that's not going to work. You can judge all the relationships you have and how to have them. This is something you're going to have to figure out. I can't give you all the parameters, but you need to judge all relationships and all habits and things based on the relationships that you're having with Jesus. And that's the first one. In fact, if you grow tighter with Jesus and you become a better bride and you grow as a bride, I got to tell you something. It has an effect on all our relationships, not bad. It can help many of the things. But I think about how fitting as I close this sermon. We are in this time in this place right now. Many people are in their homes. You know, restaurants aren't open. We are definitely spending more time under our roof. But I think about a beautiful thing, guys. As we're doing this, it's funny. It can be a time of sanctification where you're set apart to the Lord. You don't have a huge agenda. People are not asking you to go all over the place because, quite frankly, there's not much of a social life. So we are God's people. And you need to remember this as well for your protection. Again, nothing wrong with caution, but you need to understand you are God's. You are different. In fact, my heart, when I seen some Christians acting really foolish and pastors doing foolish things when this whole isolation started, I was not really thrilled with the witness I saw to the church. But during this time, we do have to be the difference factor. Absolutely. I want to encourage you because you know, the Lord thought of you way before you thought of Him. He called you before you responded. And I want to encourage you today in something. You've been called to be separate. So let's do that. Let's have a word of prayer. And I don't know what maybe is grabbing you today. Have you been blindsided as darkness hits you? Are you younger? Do you have a group of friends that you know the minute you start hanging with them, everything drops out with you and Jesus? Well, if that's you today, I want to tell you something. That's not a shocker, nor is it weird, nor is it a surprise. The scripture said that would happen if you did that. Do you want to return that right now? Anybody listening to my voice, do you want to come back? Do you love Jesus kind of, sort of, but you love him a little less? Have you made deals with darkness that are not, you really can't make a deal with darkness, but we do it as Christians? I'm going to pray for you right now that God frees you up. It says, to him who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Let us never be as Christians, knowing the right thing to do and walking past it and saying, I just don't want to. I'd be afraid to say that, honestly, out of my mouth, because what a dangerous place that would be, wouldn't it? There's hope today, guys. I pray that you're grabbing a hold of God during this season. You can grow mightily during these couple of months. It can be amazing. I want to encourage you. If you're discouraged, if you're lonely, call somebody. Get in touch with somebody. Fellowship with somebody. Pray with somebody. Because out of all people in this world, we may be isolated physically, but we are not isolated from the Lord. Father, as we pray this morning, it is my hope and my prayer. I thank you so much, Lord, that I can equip and teach the saints. Lord, I thank you that people have sent donations. In fact, the giving is these are tough times, but I want to thank you that, Lord, we can be faithful to you in our finances. We can be faithful to you and not hold back. Lord, that we would share, that in our great need, we would allow that abundance of God to rise up. I even pray for people setting stuff apart right now as they're praying. They're writing their check. They're going to send it because they understand the stewardship of God. They're not going to play around with it. They're not going to say, well, I got this, but it really wasn't first fruits and all that nonsense. Lord, it's amazing how greedy we can be. But I thank you that I know so many amazing, generous people, saints that are willing to do what they're required to do, willing to support how they're required to support. I pray a blessing on every home today. I pray prayer would rise up. I do. I pray the Spirit of God would fall on the homes in New Life in such a powerful way. I pray encouragement for those that are discouraged. I pray faith where fear tried to get rooted in. You are a defeated foe, fear. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. I pray a confidence. Lord, people go, oh, this is horrible, and the economy, and they're saying all this, but Lord, you are on the throne. I refuse to simply pay attention to a broadcast. It is not defining my future. It is not defining the future of New Lifers. You are on the throne, Lord, and we fear you. You are king over all. We fear you today.
That's right.
Because you are the only one we will bow to. I pray for our more elderly members that you would protect them. You would keep them in the name of Jesus. You would bless their spirit. I pray, God, that Lord, that there is a time coming on this earth, and I'm not saying it's tomorrow, but there will be a cost for being a believer, and it'll be a lot more than getting sick.
Hallelujah.
That we would know that we are willing to give whatever is required to be obedient to your word, Father. And for all those watching today and go, oh, you don't understand, I got this or that, and this thing keeps coming back, and this bondage, God, you want to free. You want a freedom. You want to break it in the name of Jesus. We pray a breaking off of those things that have been humored or harbored. A breaking off in the name of Jesus. Lord, I believe even through the video camera today, people can be freed up. I pray for marriages today. They would be straight. There would be no lies. There would be communication. There would be light.
Yes.
I am believing you, God, today to do a work in the homes that is not only unusual, but divine. Bring couples together. No more hiding. No more hiding, God. No more in the shadows. Cause friendships to birth that are positive, that bring light, that bring life. that bring more godliness to our lives. Give a discernment for the sources of darkness that can weigh us down. We need to see, Father, like never before. Lord, this awesome opportunity. Lord, we are not happy people are dying at all. But there is an opportunity for your people to intercede and get in the gap. We need that today. Now is the time. Now is the time. Today is the day. Bless our listeners, Lord. I love all of them. I long for the day we can sing together and we can worship together. Absolutely, Lord. There's no substitution. You said, forsake not the assemblies of yourself as some have done. Lord, you can't have fellowship unless you're together. It's just a part of the scripture that's so even as they ease things, help Christians to walk in faith and not fear. Because these things will end. The time will come. I pray freedom right now. As we close this prayer, I pray freedom. Holy Spirit, go right through the video camera. You're with every member watching. You're already in their homes. Touch them right now. I pray a breaking in the name of Jesus. I pray a deliverance in the name of Jesus. I pray even now, shake it. Shake it, God. Take the roots out that have come and infected and infested and hurt people. I pray a breaking in the name of Jesus that would be broken off. That's a word to somebody. That God wants to break off that thing. That is a word. He wants to break it. He doesn't want to kind of tug at it. He wants to break it off, and he wants to break off the power that it has come into your life. He wants to break it off. He is breaking it off in the name of Jesus. He wants a full deliverance in the name of Jesus. He does not want partial victory. God says to you, total victory. Do not settle for that sliver of darkness. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom.
Yes. Yes.
Freedom. We believe you today, God, for your anointing. God, I thank you for everyone viewing. I thank you for new lifers. They're an amazing people, God. Thank you for this group of people. They're my family, and I am grateful for every single one of them. Lord, I pray as these days go forth, and there will be a closing out, and there'll be a new season, that you ready us, Father, for the next season of God in our lives. I pray one more thing. You've called some to the ministry of prayer and warfare. I pray they would set themselves apart as you've set them apart. You've called some. They want to lay hands on the sick, that they would seek you out in this area and wait before you. Lord, even today, we just say freshly, we wish to set ourselves apart. And Lord, that we would love the lost. We would love them. They would see that we love them. We love them. Their state of being means a lot to us. As Paul said, I wish myself accursed for the sake of my brethren, my Jewish brethren who are lost. And I say that I wish myself accursed for my Jewish brothers who are unsaved. We need that heart, God, for the lost. So as we go today, I pray a spirit, a divine, your Holy Spirit of encouragement going through the camera, going in the homes, quickening hearts, encouraging hearts, where you say, it is okay. I am the Lord God Almighty. I have you in my hand. I will not let you go. I will keep you safe. No pestilence will touch you. In the name of Jesus. Because I'm your Father, the Lord says. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am your God today. So I pray as we close. I'm so grateful for everyone.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, for those who say, I can't do it, yes, they can. For those who say, I've been weak, you're going to make them strong. For those who say, I've made this mistake twice, three, four, five, ten.
Amen.
You're going to bring it to an end in the name of Jesus. There is hope. There is hope. For those that today are depressed, I got to pray this. I'm sensing it. For those that are slightly depressed, I pray a joy come in the morning. I pray a joy. Lift their spirits. Lift their spirit up. Lift their spirit up. For those that have made mistakes in the past, Lord, we leave those in the past in the name of Jesus. Lord, you can redeem a situation and make it as if we never had it. You not only forget, but you erase, God, as we go forward into the present day.
right.
But I pray an anointing, even as this video stops, I pray a strong anointing in homes right now. Hit people, Lord. Hit people, Lord. Pour on people in the name of Jesus that they would truly know the power of the Holy Spirit. Refresh them today. Those that are weary, those that are tired.
Release
in the name of Jesus. Release in the name of Jesus. Release in the name of Jesus. The last thing, Lord, show them what you set them apart for. Lord, show them. There's something you want them to do. There's a way you wish them to walk. Show them. Help them to ready themselves. Father, you told me you were going to move even on the elderly. And what you showed me is they're going to start ministries in their 70s and their 80s.
Yes, Father. Yes.
You told me you're going to do something really different with that, as well as young people. But also, you're going to teach those that are sage and aged, their wisdom, the years have been upon them. And you're going to raise them up, God. You're going to be launching people out in an amazing way. Because you willed it, because you want it. And I pray a spirit of encouragement to all who have the calling of God on their life. I pray today would be a refreshing time, a strengthening time, a blessing time in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. So good to be with you. God bless you today. We will see you Wednesday.